Welcome to episode 100 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. That's right, episode 100. Eric Barzeski here, Alan Olson somewhere else. The magic of the internet.
I'm throwing confetti as we speak.
We're 2 weeks behind on this because we didn't record a show last week because we were busy with the Newport Cup and there wasn't a whole lot going on. There's no tournament this past weekend on the PGA Tour. And when your football team plays Sunday night at 8:30, it's really kind of a boring weekend. I learned that. But 2 weeks ago, it was not a boring weekend. Camilo Villegas wins the BMW Championship wire to wire, knocking off the likes of our Ryder Cup members, Jim Furyk, and a few others.
Yeah, very impressive. You know, a lot has been made of him, and as far as just, you know, there's been a lot of expect. I mean, he hits the ball a mile, and he does the Spider-Man thing, and all these other 20-something, younger 20-something guys have been winning. He hasn't. He's played well Friday, you know, Thursday, Friday, and then no shows the weekend. So very impressive to go wire to wire.
Right, and his first PGA Tour win, if I didn't say that already. Again, I said Jim Furyk was in the hunt, shot a 70, didn't quite get it done. Anthony Kim closed strong, but couldn't muster enough, closing with a 67. They both tied for third, and second place went to
Dudley Hart.
Lovely, right? Dudley Hart making his way into the Tour Championship, and thus the Masters, as it's currently set up. So, yeah. There's some of the problems with the FedEx Cup playoffs right there in the minds of some. We've already discussed that, so we'll do that for another time. Camilo Villegas, really, I've been harsh on him personally. I don't know if it's come out on the show or anything, but he certainly has not, as you said, been around on Sundays. Anytime he's been near the lead, he's been very Brett Quigley-esque in his seeking out of a first PGA Tour win. He'll play well on Thursday or Friday, or if he starts the day on Sunday well back, he'll make a surge, but never enough to overtake the leaders and win. But does it here, and he's only played 86 PGA Tour events or something, so nowhere near Brett Quigley-esque in that regard. 86 or 83 or something PGA Tour events. So getting it done fairly early. He's still a young guy. A lot of 20-somethings won on the PGA Tour this year.
Yeah, I think it's been a really good year. You know, unfortunately, Tiger went down with a knee injury, but you've had the, it's the next crop, you know, that we've been wondering who's going to be these 20-somethings that are going to take over the golf stage, and now we're seeing quite a few of them win this year.
Hopefully some of the ones that aren't younger, like Jim Furyk, who couldn't get it done, hopefully they can get it done. In the Ryder Cup, Hurricane Ike did damage the course and some of the signs and some of the pavilions and stuff a little bit, but I expect that will be taken care of. Heck, by the time you're listening to this, probably. We'll move on from that. That's the story we'll link to, the damage. It's about two sentences long, but this week is Ryder Cup week. You know, predictions?
USA. Yeah. You know, I think it's going to be very close. I don't think we're going to get the blowouts that we've had the last couple of years. You know, both teams have some wild cards on them. The U.S. is very, very young, very untested.
That could be a good thing.
And I think it is. I think, you know, you kind of get rid of some of the guys that were on the prior teams that happened to make the team, but in all honesty, they just really weren't good enough. You know, and you look at some of the young guys that have made the U.S. team. These guys are good. They're hungry. You know, they want to, you know, get rid of this history that has kind of taken over the U.S. team.
Well, and some like Hunter Mahan better play well, or else things they've said in the past may come back to haunt them.
Yeah, Hunter foot and mouth disease. But, you know, I think it's going to be close. I think there's some good storylines, especially Hunter Mahan, you know, spouting off about whatever, and, you know, Kenny Perry skipping majors, and it's in his home state, and JB Holmes is in his home state, you know, four captains picks. It's going to be very interesting for Team USA. Like I said, I think it's going to be close, and hopefully they play well.
I'm still unconvinced. I think that the pros for the Americans are that they do have some more younger players. There may be some dissension among the European team, so that might be a plus. But that's all I see as a plus. Kenny Perry has not played well at the end of the year. Admittedly, neither has Padraig Harrington. Phil Mickelson has not played well. Jim Furyk has had a pretty bad year all year, mostly with the putter, which matters most perhaps in Ryder Cup play. So I don't like that. Steve Stricker has had an off year. JB Holmes wins in one place, and I'm not sure course knowledge is really going to make up for spraying the ball all over the place. I'm still concerned. I think it'll be closer than in the past. I'll agree with that, but I think Europe ekes out a win, probably. I may change my mind before tomorrow morning. I haven't really truly sat down and crunched the numbers or molded it over, but that's just my hunch. I think it's going to be something like, what are their 28 points, 14 and a half wins it. So, I think it's going to be somewhere around 16 and a half to 11 and a half. 16 and a half, 11 and a half. I think I'm going with that. Europe.
Yeah, I think for the European team,
No, you can't change your vote.
No, I'm not changing my vote. I'm switching over to talk about them a little bit. I think in team competition, Sergio is about the closest thing you can get to the lead pipe lock. I mean, he is money when it comes to team events. He's played very well this year. He's won a couple big events. He's been in the running for some of the majors and stuff. That might carry over. He doesn't have the greatest singles record. I mean, if you add, his team playing to, suddenly his singles gets better, I think that's, it's really a huge plus for Team Europe. Some of the other guys, Harrington hasn't played well the last, last month or so. Poulter's on the team for I don't know what reason. Justin Rose. It's hard to say.
Perhaps instead of, Ryder Cup flags on the greens, Paul Azinger can put, a U.S. Open flag there or something. Because, aside from Harrington winning, the British and the PGA, they don't win majors, and that might nullify Sergio's edge. Say if you just put a major flag up there, and the U.S. Open would be the best one, I think, of the four to put there. Just make it say U.S. Open Valhalla 2008, and I think that might help.
I'm not sure he's going to be confused by that, but it might work.
It might work. He's that fragile.
We'll see how many flag six he hits and gets unlucky.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
I mark my Titleist with a black dot left of the number. With blue brackets around the tie list.
First, I black out the number, and then I make the Kelly Green 13.
Un pequeño círculo.
A black line over the Pro V1X.
Black dot over the 9.
For 20 years, a black dot over the tee.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball.
It's how you mark your tie list.
How do you mark your tie list?
Welcome back. In breaking news, we learned that Tiger Woods is most definitely a bottom.
I got nothing on that one.
Okay, well, he and Elin, his wife, of course, have announced that she is pregnant with her second child. Of course, this occurred during the time frame in which Tiger could barely move, so I'm going to guess he wasn't. He's a bottom. We got that, okay. The kid will be born sometime in whatever, January, right?
Late winter.
See, I don't know what late winter is. Early winter is December, I think. So January, February.
Whatever.
Somewhere in there.
Yes.
Just in time for Tiger to start swinging clubs again, maybe.
Yeah, very interesting timing of the whole thing. It's, like you'd made mention about right around the time he was laid up and whatnot.
Yeah, he said he was playing video games and stuff. I don't
think he was playing video games. But anyway,
I don't think Elon likes to be called a video game.
No, but be interesting to see. Now this is just, here's another thing. If this child's born January, February, somewhere in that time frame, right about the time he's thinking about coming back. So now does this push it back even more? It's just one more thing. Congratulations to him.
I doubt it, and congratulations, and no, we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. If it's a boy, maybe it'll have a girl's name this time around. PGA Tour players, again, I hinted at this earlier, they're talking about, they've basically become somewhat of a mathematician thing. We've talked about this before. If Jim Furyk had won the FedEx Cup, or if he had won the BMW Championship instead of Camille Vijayagas, Vijay Singh wouldn't have locked up the $10 million prize. As it turns out, he already has. Also figured out, again, that if you make two cuts, you get 2,000 points just for making the cut, and that beats, a fifth place finish and a missed cut. We've talked about this before. We'll link to this quick story. There's three pages of it, so flip through it, but it's a little interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be rewarded for making the cut. Missing the cut in a quote unquote playoff event, should have consequences. Padraig Harrington is not in the Tour Championship because he missed two cuts. What do you want?
Yeah, I definitely think it's, people worrying about way too much. I thought Jim Furyk had the perfect thing, perfect quote where he said, cuts made bothers me. Making a cut isn't anything to be proud of, in my opinion. Finishing fifth, now there's something to be proud of. So, making the cut, and there you kind of made the comment before about, some of these guys just making the cut. That's all they do. They make the cut, they eke out a nice living, and that's all they do. You should be penalized for missing the cut. So, I don't know. It's just more things for them to complain about.
Complain, complain, complain. Millionaires complaining.
Yes.
Michelle Wie has decided quite to my shock, I must say, to apparently enter LPGA Tour Q School to qualify for her card that way. I hadn't expected her to, because I think it's almost a lose-lose situation in that if she gets her card, it's almost like admitting defeat and saying, yeah, maybe I should have done this last year. But if for some reason she doesn't get her card, then she looks pretty bad, not even getting her card to Q School, because the competition, shall we say, is not exactly fierce. Now, I think it would take a catastrophic collapse of some kind, which, looking at her history, we've never really seen except when she was injured. I mean, it would take a Greg Norman in 96 at Augusta National type collapse for her not to get her LPGA Tour card, I think. I mean, I don't even think the Futures Tour is a remote possibility. I think she may be not be the medalist, but she'll be in the top five or so fairly easily, I think. I think that's safe. But interesting that she decides to go to Q School now, not last year. I don't know what her plans are for next year. How many LPGA Tour events? How many men's events?
I think this is really the first big sign of maturity that we've seen from Michelle Wee. You know, maybe having, you know, spent a year at Stanford, maybe she's starting to pull away from her parents and some things that have happened in the past with her career, and some of the unwise choices have been made. So I don't think she's going to have a problem. You know, we've seen, you know, as far as the Futures Tour and stuff like that. I mean, they suck. Let's put it mildly.
They're pretty bad. I mean, the bottom half of the LPGA Tour is pretty bad. And she was beating them with an injured wrist. She wasn't quite making cuts, but she was...
Talent-wise, here's somebody who's finished, you know, top five in majors. This should be no problem. I think it's a great move. She can cruise through Q School, get on the LPGA Tour, and then older, wiser, and move on. I think it's a good move. And is it a year or two late? Yeah, maybe.
She was just coming off her injury, you know, last year, may have still been slightly injured, so it might not have been the best time last year. And also, let's not give her too much credit, because we don't know how much sponsors are saying, look, we're not getting the exposure we thought we'd get. You need to, like, play more. Like, you know, like, play more. So, you know, it could be that, too. It may not be maturity at all. It might be her pocketbook talking, or whoever's in control of her pocketbook talking. Whatever, the saga will play out. She plays her first round. She's not even exempt past the first round, but she plays her first round starting the day before you will listen to this podcast, September 16th, on Tuesday. You can follow along with that online. It's already happened, but you can check out the results, I guess. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about it next week or something, unless totally boring happens. I don't know.
All Ryder Cup, baby.
Yeah. That's right. Our last note here, Natalie Gulbis is going to be on The Celebrity Apprentice. Apparently, Donald Trump has stopped going for brains and is just going for blonde now. I don't know. I mean, come on.
This is, yeah.
Natalie's not exactly the brightest, the sharpest crayon in the box.
You know, I guess
she's two fries short of a happy meal.
I guess I'm not sure why. I mean, this to me is, I mean, I'm sure she can come back and say, well, you know, it's good exposure for the LPGA and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, so is winning. I mean, I just don't understand why being on The Apprentice. I don't know. Maybe she's trying to promote another calendar or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she... Maybe she'll hang around for a while just so Donald has some scenery. I don't really know. If nothing else, she'd be good at the street challenges. People would come up and buy whatever crap they're selling. Lemonade or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Having never watched the show, I have no idea what she's going to do. So, good luck to her.
Yeah.
What would happen if she wins? I mean, she kind of has a job.
Yeah. Well, the money all goes to charity on that thing. That the celebrity ones. They don't
actually get to work for Trump.
No.
Okay.
She might have to endorse his courses or something like that, which would be a perfect fit, really. Kind of, you know, superficial.
And on that note.
Yeah, that concludes episode 100. Sorry, Natalie, but I don't know. Win something. You've done it once just to get that off, you know, but now do it again. Do it one more time. You got to get to at least two now.
Yeah, I mean, with her talent, she should be at least getting a win a year. I mean, that's not asking for too much.
Come on, we did 100 podcasts. You can do two wins.
Absolutely. You can do it.
Right, yeah. Good luck on The Apprentice. That does it for episode 100. Check our show notes out online. Clickety-click on the links and read the stories that we talked about in this week's show. And for Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, my heart's going to root for the USA, but my brain is still saying Europe.
USA. Never mind.
Bye.